And yet the disciples were in the fields on a Sabbath, eating as if it were any other day of the week, with total disregard, as if they had never heard that on the Sabbath, you don't do this. You do not affront, you do not insult a holy God, for this is his day. This is his moment. And nobody would ever think of doing such a thing. And so the disciples, as if they were living in the dark, as if somehow they had lost their calendars or the days just were blending together and they didn't know the difference and they had just stumbled through the Sabbath, were in a sense stumbling through the field, working their way by eating with their hands, and the Pharisees had just about had it. For they knew quite well that they would have never done anything like this if Jesus himself had not blessed it. As a matter of fact, I imagine they had a deep suspicion that Jesus was behind it, that Jesus must have said to them, look, we've been going a long time, a long way, and we've got more places to go. We just need to renew ourselves. We need to have something to eat. We're about to cut through this field, and guys, it's okay. There's going to be some grain in this field, and just have at it. And the disciples were eating. The Pharisees were looking down and into all of that situation, and they had reached the limit, for they had probably never seen such an obvious, egregious affront to the living God on such a day. And they called the disciples on it. And they tried to make their case to Jesus that this is not the way you treat this day. This is not the way that you go about honoring God on a Sabbath day. And Jesus, in response to them, said, well, I thought certainly you guys had heard about King David when he was in the battle and they were in the midst of all of this, and it was time for the troops to be able to get something to eat, and he took his troops into a field, and they ate, and God blessed them, and nobody got on their case. Nobody pulled out a law book on them. Nobody said, you know what, even though you're in the middle of a battle, you know, it'd be better for you guys just to be famished and go out there and have the swords and spears drawn through your bodies and you'll lose the battle because you're not supposed to eat on this day. Nobody got on King David. And Jesus recalled that to them. And then Jesus came at them from the far side with this statement, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Because what had happened along life's way is that the keepers of the law had forgotten that the Sabbath was never created by God so that God could just kind of pour all of his rules into a day and say, you know what, the best way you can honor me on this day is to follow all of these rules, is to do or not do all of these things. And any place that you step across the line, you know how angry I get at stuff like that, and I'm going to judge you for that. It was never the kind of God who created a day so he could flood it with all kinds of things and borders to stay within and certainly not cross. But the Pharisees along the way had simply lost sight of why the Sabbath was created. They had simply lost sight. And Jesus brings them back to their root. He brings them back to the very heart of this thing when he said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And as if that were not enough, Jesus goes into a synagogue on another Sabbath, and there is a man who is there, and his hand is shriveled. And the Pharisees undoubtedly had kind of spread the word to everybody. You know what? Jesus kind of, when he's in the village, he always goes to the synagogue. Undoubtedly, he's going to be there today. And everybody knew the man with the shriveled hand was there. And there was, I'm sure, there was some suspicion, and there was some talk about, I wonder what Jesus would do in this place. I wonder if he's going to have a response. You know, it's just kind of like Jesus that he would actually heal somebody on this day. And sure enough, while they're in the middle of this service on a Sabbath, Jesus sees the man that has a shriveled hand, has the man step forward, has the man stand up. His hand is healed, and the Pharisees pull out the rule book again and say, hold it, you can't do this, guy. I mean, we appreciate that you can do this. If you had done it yesterday, no one would have said a word. If you could have just waited until tomorrow, there would have been no issue whatsoever. But today is the Sabbath. Today is not the appropriate time to do this thing. And Jesus again noted that the Sabbath was made by God, and the purpose of the Sabbath is not to turn people into slaves, but that so God can accomplish his mission, and Jesus was on a mission for God. I would imagine that the disciples felt like Sherman had just walked through Atlanta and torched the entire city. It's almost as if when they looked into the fields, they could see the flames of the disciples burning the holy day, disregarding the entire thing that God had created. It's almost as if when they went to the synagogue that day, the enemy had come right through and put to fire the entire house of worship, and it was just going down in flames. And you could certainly feel and understand their deep apprehension about what was happening before their very eyes. And yet Jesus affirmed and reaffirmed that they had, in a sense, misunderstood what God had done in creating the Sabbath, and that Jesus was not breaking the Sabbath. Indeed, in the greatest way imaginable, he was honoring what God is all about. I'm going to just use this story in a brief way to help us to walk into the kinds of things that happen even in our own day, even in our own time. This was a huge shift. It was a huge shift to some people who were very, very religious. And Jesus was in the heart and the middle of this thing. As a matter of fact, it was such a huge shift that after the encounter of Jesus, the religious leaders were so upset, they were so beyond themselves that they, in fact, began to discuss how they just need to get rid of him. And you cannot have this kind of stuff happening on the Sabbath. A huge religious shift had happened. And the Lord of the Sabbath was standing in the middle of it all, saying things that just didn't quite sound right, doing things that they knew there's no way this could be right on a day like today. Let me put it in terms, if I may, like this. On December 26th, 2004, for those of you who remember dates really well and events with associated dates, do you know what happened on that day? You have no idea. That's because you're not a woman. Everybody else, they were taking their gifts back. You remember it as soon as I tell you. Indonesia. The great tsunami that took out the lives of almost 250,000 people. Most of them bordering countries of the Indian Ocean. Early on the morning, within the first hour of that day, there was an incredible shift of the plates under the ocean. The shift lasted about 10 seconds, scientists say. There was a movement of an estimated 30 feet as one plate subdued another. The result of that was so horrific that not just one tsunami, but multiple tsunamis began to race across the ocean at the speed of upwards of 600 miles per hour, reaching shores with waves at that time cresting an estimated 100 feet in height. An event so enormous that, again, scientists tell us the entire Earth vibrated 1/2 inch, whatever that means. And after that event, wherever these waters hit, the lives that they took, the homes and businesses that were destroyed, the landscape was never ever the same again. It is one of the greatest disastrous events of our time, natural disaster. Unimaginable to us to even think in the terms of the loss of life and property. That kind of event is somewhat akin to an event that happens in a cultural way when there is an incredible tsunami or wave of a new culture that comes. And it just so happens that in these times, in these days, in our generation, whether you're young or old, in the days in which we live, we have been part of an ongoing cultural revolution, and the waves are crazy, wiping out things that we have long held dear. It has changed the entire landscape of the way that many of us live life. And if you are a senior or you've been in life some time, you could easily go back a number of years and say, I would have never thought I would have seen the day in which the culture would have shifted the way that it has. In which this wave of new thinking, way of new being, way of new doing things has just taken over everything. It's everywhere. And there has been a cultural tsunami that has been unavoidable. It's nobody's fault. Few people were planned for it, and fewer people probably knows what it really all looks like. Even now, we are living at our best guess and hunches as to how all of this will come out. What will, in fact, the new landscape look like? What will it be that is so different? Jesus was a tsunami that hit the field that day. It was an epicenter so great that we still are reading the story of what happened in that field. It was a moment that ran so deep, that cut so across the way that people thought about things, even religious things, that it is still a story that we come back to 2,000 years later to see how Jesus observed the Sabbath in such a different kind of way than we would have ever thought. And there is no doubt in the mind of anybody that the death and the resurrection of Jesus was a tsunami of eternal and everlasting proportion. Something that was set off by God that changes everything forever. But what happens when there's a tsunami in the culture in which we live that is irreversible, that you can't do anything about, that comes whether your house, quite honestly, is built on stone and strong foundation or sand? This is the kind of cultural tsunami that just finds its way into everything, finds its way into everybody's home, finds its way into every business, finds its way into every school, finds its way into the streets. There's just not a place that doesn't go untouched by it. What happens when there's that kind of shift in life, in culture? Many churches have a sense of what's going on and that things aren't the way they were 30 years ago or 40 years ago or whenever. And it is tempting, and it's tempting for all of us to want to hold on and grab the things that we were so very used to that simply are just, in many cases, being washed away. You just want to hold on. Who doesn't? We all understand that. That is just normal human response and reaction. And for some, it could be just tragic news that we don't get to experience some of the great, great things that we were used to. I know the reality is, some of you, and it would be fine, I'd love to hear it, some of you would give up everything if we had a 50-member choir right now. I understand that. So I grew up on the peninsula with the largest choir on the peninsula. Some of you would give life and limb, and we totally understand it. If it was like it used to be when you could just say, you know what, we're going to have this meeting or this program or this thing, and that's all you had to do, and it was just automatically flooded with people. And then a shift happened. A cultural shift swept across the land. And some churches tried to hold on as long and as hard as they possibly could, but the power of the undercurrent in culture was too strong. And things got reordered. Some things just got flattened. And it just did not or does not look the way it used to look. Can it be disheartening? Of course it can be. For some, is it a sense of loss? Yes, absolutely, a sense of loss. But with every reality, there is a good news. And with this reality that is unstoppable, that is irreversible, and is going to be the landscape of the future and the way that life is going to be for our children and our grandchildren. The grand reality is that Jesus is Lord on one side of the shift as he is Lord on the other. He is not breaking out in a sweat. He and the Holy Spirit and God are not getting together and saying, we didn't see this coming. They are not having a called meeting in heaven to say, this was never on the plan. We never thought this would happen on the Sabbath. Amen. We never thought that this could be. They have been fully in control. They have been totally in charge. They have not broken sweat on anything. And they are Lord. Jesus is Lord, whether you're on this side of the field or that side of the field. He is Lord, whether it is before the death and resurrection or after the death of resurrection. He was Lord on the day of creation, and He is Lord when it all gets recreated, and He is Lord with everything in between, and He's all good with that. He's inviting us to be good with Him about that too. That's the hope. That's our encouragement. That we get to stand with the living Lord. And however the future comes to us, whatever ways life gets reordered, in whatever ways the Spirit of the living God works in churches and through people, and new and fresh ideas come together and new kinds of ministries arise, and other people began to step up and say, this is what God is calling me to do. I have a burning in my soul that I can do this. You're in a church family where that needs to be known, heard, encouraged, prayed for, and supported. And wherever the fire of the Spirit is burning within us, we want to make sure that it just continues and you pursue the mission of God in your life with other people in a place where you are supported, resourced, loved, and unleashed and let loose to do what God wants to do in your life. You're in that place. Will it look like it did years ago? No. Will we ever have a 50-member choir? It totally depends on whether 50 people who can sing gets up here and sing. That's what they say. We don't know. Will it look like tomorrow? Would it look like yesterday? No. And that's quite okay. Because God has not stopped. He has not broken stride. He is not breaking sweat. And He is Lord. Regardless of what happens in creation. Regardless of the evening news. Regardless of Congress or North Korea or China. God is in control of the whole thing. And nobody, nowhere, has ever, will ever, could ever stop, prevent, slow down the mission that God is on. The good news is He wants you in on the deal. Amen. So are you in? I know you are. We have a future that just awaits us. I wish it were possible, like we could in times past, to lay it all out. Everything was so predictable. Everybody knew what everybody was going to do. You could just do stuff and know it. I wish it were that way in many ways. And it's not, and it's not going to be. However, if you can rest comfortably in the depth of your soul with the reality that the risen Lord is risen forever, if that's all you have, you're good to go. So, I invite us as a church family to embrace the days in which we live. There's no need to be mad about it. There's no need to be discouraged about it. There's no need to say, if it had only been years ago, and that could be today. Embrace where the living Lord is today. And as that becomes our greater and deeper reality, we will see, hear, witness what the Spirit of God is doing among us. And it will last until Christ comes again. So I invite you. I invite you to get in on what God is doing in it. Is it different? Yes. Embrace. Move forward. Thank God for what He has done. And turn right around and thank Him for tomorrow and what shall come. One way you can do this, and we'll be doing it throughout the entire fall. No rush, don't have to do it today. On the altar table, when we have a time of prayer and response, I'm, as always, available to pray with you. If it's about a relationship with Christ, a need in your life, something heavy on your heart, a celebration, whatever it is, I'm more than happy to be part of that in as much as you wish. But every Sunday, there'll be simple note cards, index cards, because this is not about me or leadership team or deacons or admin team, or it's not about any of that. It's about you just putting your name and your calling and your passion in as much as you feel like, God, you know, I just got a passion for this. And the sense of the gift that God has given you. It's about just identifying that and laying it back to God, because He's the one who gave it to you, and He's not going to be shocked by anything you write. It came from Him. I'm just inviting you to give it back to Him in a physical way for this reason. As we begin to respond as a people, when January rolls around, as distant as all that seems, it's going to be here in no time flat. Wouldn't it be too cool, beginning on January 1st, if the way that we work, the way that we organize together, the way that we just flesh out what God is doing among us is built around what God has already put in your heart, the passion that already is there, the gift that already is there. Imagine, can we not do this? Imagine Ivy Memorial Baptist Church beginning to be designed more so just around the passions and the gifts that we have, and see where God takes us with that story, and trust Him. Just put it back in His hands, the whole thing in His hands, because it's His. And what we don't need to do, we won't do. What we need to do, we will do. But I could envision every single person just living out of this incredible sense of, I get to wake up and do like I do. You will be able to do, some of you already do it, get to wake up every day and do what God has called you to do. I mean, I can't imagine a better life than that. If you're ready and prepared today, and you've already known, you've known for years or whatever, you know, mine is simple. I'll put my name, and I'll put preacher, teacher. That's the passion of what I envision, cast what I love to do. So I'm going to put it, put it before God. If you already know what yours is, or if you're open to yours, or if God has done something different or new, or I don't know, you might need to write a question mark right now. That's fine. Put it as a prayer before God. Say, God, I'm not sure right now, but I'm going to put the question mark before you, and I can't wait to the day when I come back, when I get to put it in, because you spoke to me and now it's clear to me. So I'm just going to invite you, when you're ready, as you're ready to come, and just present back to God the gift, the calling, the passion. And then let's pursue a future that is designed around what God has already given us. Jesus is in the field. I know it looks like the woods are burning. But in all of that, even that, the kingdom of God is accomplishing its divine purpose right here, right now, on this day. I'm going to invite you, if you would, please, to stand with me. I'm going to lead us in prayer, and after I pray, and as we sing, I'll be here, be happy to pray with you. If God is calling you to start a relationship, I invite you to come. We'd love to celebrate that with you. If God is calling you just to kind of plant yourself here, and you feel like us, God's working in your life, we would love to embrace you and to welcome you and to help you find your way and find your place here. If you're ready, prepared, and willing today to come and just put your name, your passion, your giftedness, and just present it to God as a gift and a prayer, I invite you to come. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are